Now, let's stay in 1 Peter 2, because we have another instance of exactly what we're addressing. 1 Peter 2, verse 11, as a result of the dignity of what we are called to be, or what we are called as, then he says in verse 11, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, have your conduct honorable, in verse 12, and therefore, verse 13, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man, and so on. Look at verse 15, for this is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. So let's spend a little time here. This is the will of God, to do good and put foolish men to silence. Emphasizing the doing good, we don't have to worry about the foolish men so much, but this is the will of God, do good. Let's consider that. How do we do good? How do we know what is good? Why does a lifestyle like that bring glory to God, the one who we are related to, who we are relating to in this relationship that we're emphasizing?
We have something at the very start of chapter 2. Laying aside, therefore, all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envyings and all evil speaking. So that's setting aside all the bad habits that we may have. Then, as newborn babes, desire earnestly the pure mental milk of the word, that by it you may grow up to salvation. So that's the first step that we need to take, to lay aside basically our old man. You know, that's what our old man is characterized by. Our old man's not an expression to say it's our dad. It's the flesh inside us that we need to set aside and take up verse 2. Earnestly desire the word of God and grow to salvation, and then we can do good.
This might speak a little to the good that is spoken to in 1 Peter. If we go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, it starts off saying, first of all, then I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and for all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. And so that might speak to the good that Peter is trying to get to in relation to the authorities and the powers that he mentions here.
I think that's an excellent point. And if you look back, I would connect this is the will of God in 1 Peter 2. I would like to suggest that in the verse 15, it's connected to submission. And submission in verse 13, it says, therefore submit yourself to every ordinances of man, for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors or the speed limit. Ooh, forget that one. As to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, for the praise of those who do good. And that's the do good part that, what's your name?
Frank.
Okay, Frank was telling me. I just had a mind blank. It's terrible. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to, but the doing good is the submission, submitting ourselves. It's something that we find very difficult to do, to submit. Why? That's the flesh. But in being submissive to the authorities that be, we're demonstrating to everyone else that we're under a higher authority.
I think that's very helpful, because we can add on to that. Really, one of the themes of this epistle is submission, because from here, there are five expressions about submission. There's submitting to government, like it says here. Follow on the passage, it's servants, submit yourselves to your masters. It talks about the relationship between wives and husbands and how submission shows there. It talks about in chapter 5 about younger believers submitting themselves to older believers. And then it even says, submit yourselves one to another, mm-hmm. also in chapter 5. It's almost, you shake your head at the wisdom of God to make Peter the one to write about five ways of submission. When you think about the impetuous nature and behavior of Peter, here he is the one God uses to say, look at all the ways you can glorify me by a life that knows how to submit when you are in the role that requires submission.
If we also turn to Romans chapter 13, mm-hmm. it says, everyone must submit himself, Romans 13 starting at verse 1. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you. For he is God's servant to do you good. And so it continues there. I think that for those of us who are out in the field of work, or for those in school who will be in the field of work soon, everyone will at one point in their life, in my opinion, have the pleasure of working for someone who isn't the sharpest knife in the kitchen drawer. We will all have the opportunity to be in a position of subjection to someone who we ourselves may not prefer to be in a position of submission to. And I think it's in those circumstances an opportunity to live out and to show that we really believe what we believe as it relates to our Christian walk, because everything within us in those circumstances will lead us to want to rebel, will lead us to want to assert ourselves in ways that are not appropriate in submission. And so it's such a wonderful thing to know, as we touched on I think it was in the optional Bible study last night, where it says, after Jesus, where he was lost in Jerusalem and he found his parents, it says that Jesus went home and was obedient unto his parents. And it's so amazing to think that the very creator of the universe would have submitted to his own earthly parents. You can imagine that there's nothing on earth that Mary or Joseph knew that Jesus didn't know. And yet he would have been submitted to their earthly authority. It's the ultimate example of what the Lord will hold us to, whether the authority is our parents, whether the authority is our teachers, whether the authority is our boss, the policeman on the street, or, President Obama. Right? There is all authority is established by him.
Our time is passing. Tim is going to make another comment in this regard, and then I want to bring us to another passage.
Well, actually, I was going to go to another passage.
Yeah.
Okay.
The one you just pointed to me?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. 1 Peter chapter 3, there's another, this is the will of God, and this one we definitely don't like. But in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. Let me just read verse 15 in connection. But sanctify, there's a sanctify where we have to set apart the Lord God in our heart and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who's asked you the reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having good conscience that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct, so that's what we were just talking about, in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. So suffering might be a part of God's will for you. And in some degree, suffering is God's will for all of us, in one degree or another. So anyone desires to live a godly life will suffer persecution, it says. Mm-hmm. So there will be some degree of suffering, but maybe you guys have another thought.